Good morning, church. It's good to see you all. It's really good to be here, especially come along with my dear friend Akari, who is in the front there. So we'll see what we've got here. Nothing is ever quite what you expect. Whoops, with me. So, what happened to my little white lamp? I mean that little white lamp. Let's pray. Father God, I just pray, Lord, you'll speak to us all, including myself, Father, as I bring this message, Lord, and particularly that we will all understand that we are individually seen and loved by you, and that we have a part to play in building your kingdom. So I pray that you will anoint my words now and be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Right, okay. I thought I'd come without my glasses. There was a moment's panic. Let's pop this up here. Okay, my message today was going to be about using your talents for growing the kingdom of God. Hold that thought, because we may well come back to it, because the word is that Jesus is going to return. We are going to be held accountable for how we have used the gifts that he has given us in building the kingdom. But first of all, I'd love to just speak about the encouragement and inspiration that I've received, and many others of you have, in this week's online devotion called Lectio 365. And it was the story of Jesus at the well with a Samaritan woman. And it has been such an inspiration. And I'm going to read the story to you. You will all know it, but I'm going to read it to you, and you will probably get more from it as we go. It spoke to me particularly about how God can use the insignificant, how God can use those who appear to have or seem to think that they have no worth or no real path to follow, or no gifts to give. And this is the wonderful, glorious story of how God chose someone most unusual. So Jesus had just been having some dealings with Pharisees who were coming to him, having a bit of a problem with all the people that were being baptized. Anyway, that was in Judea. So Jesus left the Judean countryside and went back to Galilee. To get there, he had to pass through Samaria. And he came into Sychar, a Samaritan village that bordered the field Jacob had given to his son Joseph, and Joseph's well was still there. So Jesus, worn out from his trip, sat down at the well. By the well, it was noon. A woman, a Samaritan, came to draw water. Jesus said, "Would you give me a drink of water?" His disciples had gone to the village to buy food. The Samaritan woman was taken aback and asked, "How come you, a Jew, are asking me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink?" Now, Jews in those days wouldn't be caught dead talking to Samaritans. Jesus answered, "If you knew the generosity of God and who I am, you would be asking me for a drink, and I would give you fresh, living water." The woman said, "Sir, you don't even have a bucket to draw well with, and this well is deep. How are you going to get that living water? Are you a better man than our ancestor Jacob, who dug this well and drank from it? He and his sons and livestock, and passed it down to us? Are you better than them?" And Jesus said, "Everyone who drinks this water here will get thirsty again and again. Anyone who drinks the water I will give will never thirst, not ever. The water I give will be an artesian spring from within, gushing fountains of endless life." The woman said, "Sir, give me this water so I won't ever get thirsty and won't ever have to come back to this well again." he said to her, "Go and call your husband." "I have no husband," she said. "That's nicely put, I have no husband. You've had 5 husbands, and the man you're living with now isn't even your husband. You spoke the truth there, sure enough." "Ah, so you're a prophet. Okay, well tell me this," said the woman. "Our ancestors worship God at this mountain, but you Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place for worship, right?" "Believe me, woman, the time is coming when you Samaritans will worship the Father, neither here at this mountain nor there in Jerusalem. You worship guessing in the dark. We Jews worship in the clear light of day. God's way of salvation is made available through the Jews. But the time is coming, it has in fact come, when what you're called will not matter and where you go to worship will not matter. It's who you are and the way you live that count before God. Your worship must engage your spirit in the pursuit of truth. That's the kind of people the Father is out looking for, those who are simply and honestly themselves before him as they worship. God is sheer being itself. He is spirit. Those who worship him must do it out of their very being, their spirits, in true selves, in adoration. The woman said, "I don't know about that. I do know that the Messiah is coming. When he arrives, we'll get the whole story." "I am he," said Jesus. "You don't have to wait any longer or look any further." Just then his disciples came back. They were shocked. They couldn't believe he was talking with that kind of woman. No one said what they were thinking, but it showed on their faces. The woman took the hint and left. In her confusion and excitement, she left her water pot. Back in the village, she told the people, "Come, see a man who knew all about the things I did, who knows me inside and out. Do you think this could be the Messiah?" And they went out to see for themselves. That was John chapter 4, by the way. Our Lectio devotion that day finished with a word from the writer who'd put it together, Carla Harding. And she put it like this: "I love the back-to-front, upside-down way that Jesus worked. If he was strategically planning the most effective ambassadors to bring as many as possible to follow him, he would probably have chosen educated, respected, and influential people in Jerusalem. Yet here I find him, sitting at a Samaritan well, making one of the first evangelists out of an unnamed non-Jewish woman. How seemingly insignificant she was, and what a mighty job God achieved through her as he gave her." Anyway, so that was, that's not it. That was just a little start to my message. On Thursday evening, I had a light bulb moment, and I'd like to introduce you. Could you plug me in, please, Pastor Guy? I'd like to introduce you to, now that's quite enough giggling. I'd like to introduce you to a few light bulbs. Okay, let's get my stuff here. So these light bulbs live on a shelf in a rather dark area at the back, by the back door of my house. I know where they are, I know what sizes and types are in the box, and they're excellent light bulbs. They're excellent light bulbs, there, and I'm pleased to know that they're there on my shelf. I have spotlights. There we are. Maybe. And these are representing you and me, by the way. You cast yourself here. I've got a spotlight here. We have spotlights. We have fancy lights. Okay? Some of God's people are fancy. We've got ordinary lights that just work. We've got tiny lights. Ooh, we've got pretty little lights. And we've got tiny little lights. very insignificant little lights. And then we've got lights that, you know, look a bit frilly like that. So we've got all of these lights, but just knowing that they're on the back seat isn't going to help when it's getting dark at night. Taking them out and admiring them isn't going to do any good, and you know exactly where I'm going with this, don't you? These light bulbs are only of use when they're plugged into the electric current and then switched on. We will be switching on. When we meet Christ, the true light who came into the world, and we come to understand that he is the only way to the Father, that he died to pay for our sin, and that he will return in power and glory to judge the world, when we surrender to him as Lord, we are born again as children of God. Let's... All right. In the words of Jesus, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and give glory to your Father in heaven. Back to our light bulbs. They're all produced to make light, but with different purposes, and it's the same with us. There are 100,000 megawatt bulbs that are used in lighthouses, and I think of them perhaps as Christians in prominent positions, and for some reason I think of J. John. It's a great light. However, even the smallest bulb has a light to shine, has a job to do. A small, insignificant bulb. Our talents and our gifts, even though we feel insignificant, they come from God the Father. And when we receive Jesus, the Holy Spirit releases more gifts in us. When we step out in faith and begin to use them, we will be taking part in building the kingdom of God. In my bedroom, I've got a tiny green light in a little box, and it's charging something rather important. It's a tiny light, insignificant light, and yet it is sufficient in the darkest night for me to know how to walk across my bedroom when I need to go somewhere else. It has a purpose, tiny purpose, but it's vital to me. I want us just to think about some of the gifts and the talents that God has given us. Initially, we've got the talents that we're born with. We know that God formed us in our mother's womb, and at that time, he placed within us abilities, gifts, as well as our personality. So we think about those things, and how can we use those in our life? But then, as we become united with Christ, as we receive Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes into our lives, giving us those gifts from the Spirit, the spiritual gifts. Now, I just want you to spend just a moment. I'd like you to have a little discussion with one another to identify what some of these gifts are. Some of them are very simple gifts. Some of them are more out there gifts. So I'd like you just to turn, just for a minute, and talk about what gifts you have. Maybe question one another, what gifts might I have? What gifts are there? Just have a moment now. Turn around, chat to somebody just for a couple of minutes about the gifts and talents God has given us. Okay, thank you. So we've identified some of the talents that we have. Some of the abilities that we've had. Hello. Hello. Thank you. You have the ability to communicate. In this church, we have the gift of communication, the ability to communicate. Well done. So you just have a little think about it, because we might be surprised that, you know, something like communication, or like even the not even like the gift of prayer, like the gift of listening, is a gift from God, as well as the gift of healing, the gift of preaching, those big gifts of prophesying. All it's so important, but so is the little seemingly insignificant gift that you can use to build the kingdom of God. Because when Jesus returns, we all want to hear those words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." So let your light shine. As a church, we're a church on a hill, and we've got a community to shine in and beyond. We're going to take communion now, and we're going to be coming up to take communion, so we'll be moving the table into the center here. But beforehand, I just want to read from the scriptures our direction from Jesus to remember him. And we remember the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ as we gather around the table, as a faith-filled family, we gather around the Lord's table. The Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also, the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat this bread and drink from the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Amen. Thank you, Father, that we can gather around your table, beloved members of your family, children of God through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, we bless you, we thank you for your saving grace, your body poured out, broken, and your blood poured out for us, that we might be cleansed, forgiven, and become children of God, granted with resurrection, eternal life with you. So we take now the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ with this cracker and this drink, giving thanks to you, Lord. Let us eat and drink. Amen.